This is the second week of Advent here at Vineyard Church, and last week we talked about hope, and we lit a hope candle, and I hope you were able to, pun fully intended, I hope you were able to use the little Advent devotionals we handed out last week, last Sunday. I hope you were able to use them. I hope you were able to put them to good use, and I hope you continue throughout this Advent season to use those. And so this week, we got two candles blazing, and we've already kind of read a little bit about what we're going to look at this week, but I want to talk about this morning something I want to add to our Christmas hope. I want to talk about a very big concept in the Scripture. It's this word, very big word, peace, and how it, and as it pertains to the Christmas story. Now, to start off, I need a volunteer. And I need a, here's what you're volunteering for. I need a volunteer, and here are the qualifications. Somebody who likes puzzles, and you're fairly adept at them. You like puzzles, you're fairly... All right, Janice, come on up. Come on up. Round of applause. This is Janice Cantu, everybody. I have you a table here. I brought a puzzle today, and it's not a 1,000-piece puzzle of the color purple. It's a 20-piece puzzle that I took from my two-year-old daughter's collection. And here's what I'd like you to do. Here are the pieces. As I talk this morning, I want you to do the puzzle.
Oh, yay.
And what I'd like you to do is, as I'm talking, just pay no real attention to me. Just, like, work on the puzzle, complete the puzzle. And when you, I would recommend starting with the edges first. Start with the edges and work in. And when you're already starting, hold on. I'm actually going to time you and see how long, if you can actually do it faster than my two-year-old daughter can do it. And so I'm going to time you. And when you're done, when you've completed the puzzle, show everybody your, because I'm going to be talking over here about some very important things, and you're going to be doing a puzzle over there. And so you all try to pay attention here. You can kind of check in on Janice from time to time, but try to keep your focus mostly over here. And then when she's done with the puzzle, show us you're done by, like, raising your hands or saying booyah or whoop, there it is, I don't know, dance gangman style. Whatever you got to do, do the happy dance. Show us that you finished the puzzle, and we will all go wild, and we will applaud, and we will cheer you on. So, you got what you're doing here?
Yeah.
You're doing a puzzle. Ready? Okay, set, and go. All right, while she's doing that, the rest of us, we're going to be in Psalm 34, verse 14 today. We're going to start off in the Old Testament as we launch and talk about peace as it pertains to the Christmas story. Psalm 34, verse 14 says this, "Turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." Turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. And so peace is something, according to the Scriptures, according to the psalmist here in Psalm 34, it appears that peace is something that takes a little bit of active engagement. It's something that we must seek. It's something that we must pursue. Peace is not something, according to the Bible, that we kind of passively stumble upon as we kind of go through our merry... How are we doing over here, Janice?
All right.
She's doing really well. I'm not going to tell you what my daughter did it in, but you're actually doing quite well. Peace is something, it's not something that we just kind of stumble upon, but it's something that we must pursue. There must be a turning, it says. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. And so it's something we must actively seek and something that we must pursue. But that begs a question in my mind. What is peace? What is this peace that we're encouraged to seek? What is this peace that we're encouraged to pursue? For most of us, we assume that peace is the absence of conflict, right? I mean, it's just kind of what we've been taught. That's kind of what we assume, that peace is when the what's going on? Are you done? What happened? Don't you hate when that happens? Show everybody what you got there. She finished it, but it appears that there is doesn't that just drive you nuts?
Yes.
When you're doing, especially when it's a really big puzzle, and you get to the end of it, and there is a missing piece somewhere, this is awkward, but give a round of applause anyway. Time. Sorry. Subtract 13 seconds. About 4.5. Very well done. You beat Adia by about 7 minutes. So, well done, Janice. More on the puzzle later. What were we talking about? Peace is when it's when the kids are in bed, right? Peace. The house finally goes quiet after the kids are in bed and they're asleep and you're on the couch, and it's the absence of conflict. Peace is following the mediation when all sides agree, and these are the changes we're going to make, and so there's some kind of resolve to the peace. Peace is perhaps in our minds when the relatives return home after the holidays and the house once again goes back to peace, right? Peace is the calm after the storm if you grew up in a house where there was a lot of shouting and screaming at each other. Maybe peace is when he got laryngitis, or peace is when she, you know, lost her. And all of a sudden, the shouting for a while was stopped. Peace is when there's a calm to the storm. If you remember where you were in 1969 when Jimi Hendrix played the Star Spangled Banner, then you have another understanding of, like, when you hear peace, you hear something else, don't you? And so perhaps for you, your hair was a bit longer, I don't know, and maybe you even barefoot, and all you were saying was what? You were just trying to give it a chance. And this time of year, there's lots of talk about peace, isn't there? I mean, there is lots of, we sing songs, you know, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. All is bright. Sleep in what? Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. And so we picture maybe this picture here I saw yesterday. Next slide. We picture Mary swaddling Jesus with the amber glow of light in a manger, you know, in a cave or a stable somewhere, over a manger, as Joseph looks on pensively, and we kind of have this picture, which I don't know, ladies, but like a few hours after you delivered, is that what you look like? And even like if you go to the second verse of Silent Night, you know, little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Come on now. He's sleeping in a barn, you know, in a cave, a stable, and the kid is freezing out. It's, you know, whatever time he, and yet he doesn't cry because it's silent. It's peaceful. And so we like these images this time of year, right? It makes us have this kind of nostalgic, warm, fuzzy feeling. Don't quite know how accurate it is, though. Because what are we really talking about when we look at the word peace? In passages like Psalm 34, the idea of peace may include some or all of that, but I want to encourage us today to take it deeper. I want to encourage us today as we look at this word peace and as we focus on it this season, I want us to encourage us to maybe take peace a little bit deeper than simply the absence of conflict. The Hebrew word, most of you know. Most of you know the Hebrew word out of Psalm 34, 14. The Hebrew word for peace is that word shalom. Say that with me. Shalom. Shalom Alechem. Mazel tov. Okay, and there we go. Shalom, Hebrew word for peace. And if we get down to the real meaning of peace from a biblical perspective, from a Hebrew biblical perspective, the idea of peace is not really about the absence of anything. It's not about the absence of something, but rather biblical, God-ordained, God, I would say God-inspired, God-initiated peace is not simply the absence of something like conflict, but what it really involves, much, much more stronger, is the presence of something so much more profound. And so it's not necessarily when all is calm. Because I don't know the world you live in. Calm is not the word I would use for the Gaines household on most evenings as we're trying to get homework done and potty train an almost three-year-old. And I mean, calm, sometimes all is not calm. And so if our understanding of peace, if that's the standard we hold, it's when there's the absence of conflict and all is calm, then I think we miss the gist of what really the Hebrew word shalom means. It's the overwhelming presence of something so much greater. Jesus never promised that there would be life without conflict. Never. I mean, this idea that Jesus thought there'd be life without, he never promised life without conflict, life without trouble, life without tribulation, life without strife, life without roommates that are rather annoying, life without deadlines, life without standardized testing. I could go on and on and on and on. He never promised us any of that. Life without unexpected bills, life without accidents. In fact, when Jesus was giving his parting words to his followers in John chapter 16, as he was saying his kind of last piece before he was going to go to the cross, let me show you what he said in John 16. He says, I have told you these things, verse 33, so that in me you may have what? Peace, shalom, eirene in the Greek. Jesus said, I have told you all these things, everything Jesus did, everything, all of his teaching. He says, why? Because I wanted you to find peace in me. But notice even Jesus' definition seems to suggest that there will be conflict. He says, right after that, right after talking about peace, what does he talk about? Trouble. In this world, he says, you will have trouble. That's a promise. No one amens that one usually. You ain't lying, Pastor. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. And most of us aren't like, seriously, Jesus? Really? I didn't know. But take heart, he says, I've overcome the world. See, what he's promising there is his peace in the midst of trouble. Oh, and I don't know about you, but is that good news for anyone else this Advent season? I mean, that's seriously good news. More than anything, Jesus wants you and I to know peace. He wants you and I to experience his peace, but that doesn't mean life without conflict. In this world, he says, you will have trouble, you will have conflict, you will have bills, you will have relatives, you will have deadlines, you will have neighbors, you will have leaks, you will have flat tires, you will have all of those things, Jesus says. But he says, he promises to overwhelm it with something so much greater. He says, take heart, I've overcome all of that. The word shalom, the word peace, in a Hebrew understanding, if you go to the next slide, it's really these two words are closest to it, wholeness and completeness. That's what Jesus is promising. In me, you will have wholeness. In me, you will be complete. And so this Hebrew understanding, shalom, peace, it includes all of that other stuff I talked about. Yeah, he does want to speak into the midst of that, but I believe it transcends it as well. The very intentional way I started the message with a bit of Whitney Houston this morning was incomplete, was it not? And it was in direct violation of the biblical concept of shalom. I gave you the experience of something that was incomplete. I essentially, what I did is I took away your musical shalom. I took away that ending, that big classic Whitney Houston ending that you're like, well, wait, that's not the end. You know, there's more. It was incomplete. It wasn't whole. And for many of you, it's still frustrating you. Like, please give us the end. Please. The devious way I set up Janice today, the quite devious way I set her up by asking her to do a puzzle, knowing all along that the final piece was in my pocket of the panda, the very devious way I kept the last piece in my pocket was in direct violation of the second candle over there, the peace candle. Because I basically told her to do something that couldn't really be done. I set her up and I knew it was going to be incomplete. And doesn't that, again, it leaves you frustrated. It's like, we want to see the entire panda, please. I believe that's a young panda with the panda, the mama panda. I want to see the whole thing. Please, put the missing piece in. And I say, no, it will stay incomplete. Because the biblical concept of shalom is, it's the whole picture. It's completing the entire puzzle. And you'll read in your devotional this week, if you continue on in the little devotionals we gave you, and if you didn't get one, we may have like one or two extra copies, but they all went pretty quickly last week. If you read the devotional tonight for this Sunday on peace, it talks about how the Hebrew concept of peace is rooted in the idea of God's desire to make us whole, God's desire to make us complete, God's desire to bring healing to the whole world through His Son. Shalom, peace, like I said, it's not the absence of something, but really what we find is it's the very presence of God in the midst of the conflict. It's the very presence of God, the very peace of God. Because ultimately what we find in Scripture is peace is a person. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this in Scripture. Last week, we talked about this passage from Isaiah chapter 9. And Isaiah chapter 9 was written at a time in the history of Israel when the nation was in political turmoil. The nation was facing threats not one, but two warring nations who were making war against it. And they were being led by this king named Ahaz, who was an absolute mess. And in the midst of this complete hopeless mess, Isaiah chapter 9 reads, we read this last week, but it bears reading again, and this is what the prophet says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So what we find is that the answer is not better programs. The answer is not more understanding or a profound lecture on getting along or fixing a failed political system. The answer is none of that. The answer is a person, Isaiah says. The answer is found in this person who, amongst other things, is called the Prince of Peace, the one who has overcome, as Jesus said, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of strife. And he says that those who follow the way of this Prince of Peace, those who follow his way will find themselves walking into an empire of grace that knows no end. He says it's a government, it's an empire of grace that knows no end. Could it be that the way God made us, one of the effects of the fall is that we will always lack peace, and we will always lack wholeness, and we will always have this sense that something is not complete until we find it in Christ? I would say that's the very way we were made. We were made to find our true self, our identity, our completeness, our wholeness in Christ. And so the question then that we must ask is this Advent season, where do you just lack peace? Or maybe a better way of asking that question is to ask, where do you find yourself just incomplete, if you're honest? Where do you find yourself like a panda puzzle? You're like, there's just something, there's a piece missing of this picture, and it's incomplete. Maybe it's somewhere within your family that you're like, there is not whole, there is a piece missing. And so this Advent season, yeah, we talk about wholeness and we talk about being complete and it's just conflict, conflict, conflict. So maybe that's it. Or maybe in your career, you have just a missing piece in your career. Or as you parent, you're like, man, I just feel like I'm missing something. I'm missing a piece as I parent these kids. And I don't know what it is, but there's just something missing. It's like I get to the crescendo of the song and it just stops. I want to hear the final note. I want to hear the end. Where do you just find yourself lacking peace? Because we try to fill it. We try to complete ourselves. We try to become whole in so many weird ways in our culture. I mean, does anybody else find it a tad, I don't know, ironic, sad, disturbing, whatever you want to say, that I want to show you a clip here in a second. We kick off our Advent season. We kick off our holiday season, you know, a few weeks ago. We kick this whole season of peace and hope and joy and love and roll the next clip. This is how we kick it off in our culture. Day after Thanksgiving. Black Friday, as they call it. Random Target in Utah. At 4 a.m. Merry Christmas, everyone. Peace be with you. Glad tidings we bring. Okay, here's a Walmart. Same night at a local Walmart. How many of you are slightly disturbed? I was like, what if we saw one of you running by the camera? Ruins my whole point. And there goes Mylan. I don't know if you stampede at 4 a.m. at a Target. Something's wrong with a culture that does that, though. I mean, something is seriously... If you YouTube Black Friday stampedes, I could not show you some of the better videos because of the language and the fighting and... women being thrown on the floor over, you know, whatever. let me just say this. There is no shortage of YouTube videos about Black Friday stampeding in our country. There are like pages and pages and pages of videos of Black Friday. And does anyone find it kind of, and this is how we ring in the season of peace in our culture. By standing in long, stressful lines, fighting for parking spots, waiting for a store to open at 4 a.m. and then stampeding like a herd of gazelle being tracked by a hungry lion. All to get something, to get whatever it is, to try to cram it into a missing piece in our life because we're so convinced that if we had that, maybe that would fix it. I don't know. Maybe that would complete the picture. Commercial after commercial reminding us that, you know, what would really make her whole, what would really make her complete is the right diamond or a gift wrap Lexus in the driveway, you know. You do that, it'll fix your marriage, right, guys? That's all it takes. Diamond on her finger, Lexus in the driveway. Some of the ladies are like, that's a good start. We could start there. That's going to fix it. You know, that's going to put a Band-Aid on it, whatever. That may get you to New Year's. Seriously, right? That may buy you till New Year's, but then you got to face reality that there's conflict and there's stuff. We live in a culture desperately trying to find peace, trying to find what's missing, what would make this complete. Maybe if I buy my kids more toys, they'll be more happy. Maybe if I get them the right toys, the ones that everybody else at school has, then the attitude will get better or they'll be more appreciative to me. Maybe that will do it. And so we live in this culture that pursues that. But why does more money, why does a better paying job, why does a bigger house, a fancier car, why does all of that still leave you at the end of the day unfulfilled and not satisfied? And I would say again, it's because that is not fundamentally how you were created. You are going against the way that is fundamentally not what it means to be human, much less a Christian. I'm just talking about being human. I mean, some of this, what we see, seems like anti-human behavior. It looks more animalistic in behavior. That fundamentally to be human is to find yourself made whole in Christ and to find your identity there. And so it can never satisfy more stuff, more whatever, can never satisfy because that's not how you were fundamentally made. It kicks against your very nature. It's like trying to cram a piece of the monkey puzzle that my daughter has into the panda puzzle hole. If I have this, maybe it will somehow complete it, because I just need a piece, but I'm trying to cram a young monkey into a young panda, and it's not working. It's just going to be an absolute mess. And so what does God offer us? The Prince of Peace. He offers us the missing piece to the puzzle. He says, no, it's in me. There you go. Oh, yeah. Like, there it is. He offers us the missing piece. He says, it's my son. It's, if you find it in him, you'll be complete. If you find it in him, you'll be whole. Seth, run it, because I know some of you are going to be annoyed if I don't. He offers us the final lyric of the song. And here it is. Maybe. Some of you are like, okay, he's not even going to do this, is he? He's going to leave it completely undone, the entire thing. Oh, thank God. There it is. The world is right. You got to make a run there. So, I don't know where you're seeking. It's kind of nice to preach over the voice. Just keep it going. We'll just run with it. Forget Rainier and the band. We'll just let Whitney take us home. I don't know where you're seeking peace this season, but if you're not actively pursuing it, if you're not actively seeking it and finding it, then I would implore you to pursue true peace and to pursue it in Christ. You can try to complete the puzzle with a bunch of other things, and I'll just tell you right now, it's going to be futile. It'll be like trying to cram the monkey piece into the panda puzzle, and it'll always leave you frustrated. Jesus is the missing piece. He is the fulfillment. He is the Prince of Peace. Do you need healing peace this Advent season? I mean, part of that word shalom is wholeness and completeness, not only, you know, and that could be in whatever areas. But if you look at the devotional tonight, it talks about this vineyard value that says, bringing healing in all aspects of life. That is shalom. That is peace. Healing in every aspect of life. And so maybe today you have relationships that need to be healed this holiday season. You know it's missing. It's not whole. It's incomplete, and it needs to be healed. Or maybe there's patterns of behavior or ways of doing things that you've just done them this way for so long, it's become a pattern, and maybe that needs healing this Advent season. Or perhaps you have emotional scars that you're like, I don't think I'll ever get over these. I don't think this will ever change. And maybe part of that healing is emotional healing, or maybe it is a very physical thing. Maybe there is physical healing. Your body is not whole. It's incomplete. It's broken. There's just something that's not the way that God intended it to be, the way he created it to be. And so perhaps you're facing some physical issues, and you need God's shalom. You need wholeness. You need healing physically. The Christmas story, amongst other things, is an announcement. It is an announcement of peace to a world severely lacking it. In high school, I was a part of this living nativity. Have you seen one of these things? A youth pastor volunteered us to be a part of a living nativity, and this was in Michigan, and it was at night. And so what that meant was it was going to be a hayride, and the wind chill was going to be about 4. And we were going to be outside as shepherds. And so I was cast as a shepherd in this living nativity. And I don't remember much, but I remember that when it came time for our particular church to volunteer, you know, it came upon that midnight clear that it was about 4 degrees, and they had built us this fire, and I was a shepherd, and there was a few other shepherds, and I remember that we stood around this fire, and it was just so cold that if you've ever been in that kind of coldness, those of you from northern parts will understand this, you get to this point where you lose feeling in your feet, and it doesn't matter how many layers of socks you have on. I think I had 3. And like snow boots, like, you know, I think they're like moon boots. Remember those, Napoleon Dynamite? Moon boot type thingies. I was a shepherd, but it was okay because my robe covered them. So I got like my moon boots on, 3 layers of socks. But when it's 4 degrees, eventually the cold wins. And I remember just absolutely being there freezing this night to the point that I actually took off my moon boots because I could not feel my feet. and I just stuck my feet as close as I could to the fire we had to keep us warm between hay rides coming through, until one of the other shepherds said, "Dude, your feet are melting." And I looked down. I had no feeling in my feet. Sure enough, the first two layers of my socks had completely melted and was starting to melt the third layer. Thank God I had three layers of socks on, because and so now I was in real big trouble because I'm down to one melted layer, and so that was my night. But I do remember, because the line over and over again at our particular scene came from Luke chapter 2, and it was an announcement of peace. It was Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14, because we also had these angels up on the hillside. And I remember as the narrator came through, we were supposed to look up at the hill, and the spotlight came on the angels, and we were so frozen. But this was the line: "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Over and over again that night, I heard that probably 30, 40 times, that announcement. And what it really is, it's an announcement of what? It's an announcement of peace. It's peace on earth. It's wholeness and completeness. It's peace that's not simply the end to fighting, as we seem to think of it as, or the end of conflict, but it's something so much greater. It's this idea that this child has now arrived, and he is going to make the world whole again. He's going to put it all back together. He's going to fix what is broken. It's this arrival of this gift to make humanity complete. And so Christmas is about an announcement that we have hope, like we talked about last week. And last week we talked about, and that hope, it's on its way. It's on its way. And now the angels announce that hope is here. And that hope has brought peace. And that hope and that peace are within our reach. It's right here in our midst. You can have it today. The Prince of Peace, he says, has come to earth to those on whom his favor rests. And that would be anyone who reaches out, and anyone for all time who would call on his name. And so peace is not simply something that we only seek and pursue, but peace is also something we announce to the world. To a world of stampeding Black Friday shoppers, we can be a bit countercultural and offer peace. This morning I want to end with some more worship and an opportunity to receive prayer. And there's this practice in some churches. Maybe you attended a church where there's actually a part of the liturgy and the order of service. I've attended at a church at one time that did this every week. They had this part written into the service. It was called the passing of the peace. Any of you participate in a church that actually had that as a part of your service? The passing of the peace. And it's this idea, the idea of the passing of the peace is that, you know, oftentimes when Paul ended his letters, and we end many of our services this way, he would end with what? Grace and peace to you. And this idea that we offer peace one to another, and we offer we remind each other that our completeness and our wholeness is found in Christ, and we say that over each other, and we remind each other of that. We pass that one to another, and Jesus, oftentimes when he, you know, appeared to his disciples, like after his resurrection, the first thing he said was what? Peace to you. Peace I bring you. And this idea that he came to bring peace. And Paul, you know, in some of his letters, it even says, greet one another with a kiss of peace, or a holy kiss, or literally a kiss of peace. And we're not really a kissing culture. We're more of a handshaking culture, not a kissing culture. But the idea was literally to kiss peace upon the other person. And so I thought we'd end that way today. And we'd end with some passing of the peace. And not that you have to, you're like, oh my goodness, you make me kiss this person next to me. Some of you are like, bring it on. One day, I'm teaching junior high, and I said, today we're going to talk about the passage to you know, 7th and 8th graders. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And I said, and today, kids, Mr. Gaines is going to greet each of you with a holy kiss. And the looks on their faces, and I pulled out a bag of Hershey Kisses. Ba-boom, ba-boom. And they're like, oh, yeah. Some of you are like, that and use that in my class. go for it. Band, you guys can come back up. I've asked them to close this with a song, and there will be people up here to pray. If you are simply in a place today where you say, I am in the midst of some conflict, but I want peace. I want to know the overwhelming presence and power and person of Jesus Christ in the midst of whatever it is. I just got to read you one final thing as they get ready. If I can find what I did with it here. As we were doing our announcement time today, here it is. Steve Bogan, one of our elders, came up to me. He's like, I don't know if this means anything, but I just felt in worship that I was supposed to write this down and give it to you. And here's what he wrote. My peace is not the absence of conflict, but my mind, my perspective, and my assurance in the middle of it. I'm like, Steve, you've been hacking into my computer. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about today. It's just a word of, I give that to you today just as a word of affirmation that I believe the Lord really wants to drill that home today. It's not the absence of conflict, but his mind, his perspective, and his assurance in the middle of it. If you're in need of that today, a little assurance, a little perspective, the mind of Christ in the middle of whatever conflict you're going through, there'll be people on the sides of the stage who would love to pray with you today. And then when we're done singing and when we close, I'd like you to pass the peace to someone else. So whether that's a hug, a kiss, a handshake, and simply say, you know, the peace of Christ be with you. And then the person can say, hey, the peace of Christ be with you as well. And we'll leave that way. A little passing of the peace to each other. All right, let's stand together and pray. Lord, we come to you today. You are the Prince of Peace. And so we come to you today, some of us, the storm is raging. We are in the middle of the storm, and so we need you to stand up in the boat and to say, be still, quiet, and to bring peace. And so we look to you in the middle of a crazy time of year, and we look to you in a culture that's trying to cram some kind of facade of peace into a hole that can only be filled by you. And so I pray that if there are any in this room today that they say, that has been my life. That has been the last 3 years of my life. I've been seeking it here and there and everywhere. And today I want to find it in Christ. I want to be made whole. Then I pray, God, you would give them courage today to reach out to you. You are within our reach. You have brought your peace. I pray if there's anyone here today that needs healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, healing of a broken relationship, if there are any sick in here that need physical healing today, I pray that they would respond in faith and reach out to you, and I pray that you would bring wholeness and completeness, and you would bring your healing in this room today. And so we worship you now, our Prince of Peace. We exalt you. We give you all the glory due your name. Have your way. Have your way.